This audio comes to you from the Science of Mind Archives.
Paul, come back out. Paul Hohner, ladies and gentlemen. You can just see Esther swim to that, can't you? What's interesting is Esther was brought up in Inglewood, California, by parents, especially a mother. Beulah was her name. And Beulah would deal with any problem that Esther ever came along. And she would say, "Esther, what part of the problem were you?" And that helped her a great deal. And she's been a lifelong metaphysician. We were at her house last week, and I might tell you that she's doing fine. And I'm glad for it, and I'm glad because of it, and I'm sure you are too. Well, this morning, I want to talk about giving yourself credit. Dr. Holmes made a statement that I believe simplified our whole teaching when he said, "The highest God and the innermost God is one and the same God. The magnificent power we seek then is already within us." It's not an accident that we discovered this teaching, a teaching that is the proponent of this sense of oneness. We discovered the science of mind, whether we realize it or not, because we prepared our minds to move away, or rather move into, a new way about thinking, about life. You know, everything changes when we realize that we are one with the one. Everything changes, if we really get it. A way that gives way to great dignity, because it reveals that we were created to function as intelligent beings and that we can obtain the good we want by means of something we do to ourselves, not that we do to God, not that we do to the universe, something we do to ourselves. We're self-reliant because the life principle exists within us, and we use it every time we think. Every thought, you see, impresses us with a quality of life that if we continue to impress ourselves with it, it will eventually take the form of our experience. Something special happens when we realize that our discovery of this teaching, however, was not an accident. That in some way we were preparing ourselves for it for some times. Science of Mind tells us that we attract to ourselves whatever we hold in consciousness, not whatever we need, not whatever we want, which some people think we teach, that we can have whatever we want, whatever we need. No, Science of Mind teaches us that we can have whatever we hold sacred in our own minds. It's whatever we have prepared our minds to receive that counts. So, happening upon a teaching that represents this kind of thinking means that we have attracted a way of living that we're ready to experience. Now, I doubt if many people could tell you exactly how they prepared themselves to meet the Science of Mind. I would guess that it's different for each one of us. Probably is different for me than from you. But have you ever wondered just why you found the Science of Mind when you did? Why not 2 years before? Why not 3 years after? Well, the reason is simple. When an apple is ripe, it falls from the tree. It's a natural experience. You can't beg an apple off the tree, and you can't talk it off the tree by convincing it that how much better its life will be when it leaves the branch. The apple falls from the tree when it's ready. And We, in this teaching, experience the same thing. We found this teaching when we were ready. And most probably we didn't even know it. One day we found ourselves giving real consideration to accepting a spiritual reality that would be so powerful, so wonderful, that it could change the way we related to everything. And that's what happens, you know. The more you study this teaching, a teaching that says the highest God and the innermost God is one thing, one God, the more you do that, the more you realize that you really do have power. A vehicle so far reaching in its implications that life would never be the same, and neither would we, because you look at everything and everyone just a little bit differently. That includes, or that vehicle rather, is the science of mind. And there have been people in this teaching in the last, say, 15 years who wanted to rewrite the textbook and indeed rewrite a text to call it something else. Not over my live or dead body, because I believe that we have a history and I believe that we have a background called the science of mind that is stalwart, that will serve us well if we understand it. Besides, I've learned that changing your name doesn't change you. Well, that vehicle is the science of mind, and we found it when we were ready to think for ourselves. We were ready to accept a way of life that will allow us to address life without dogma, without superstition, without being told either what's right with us or what's wrong with us. You see, when I say wonderful things about you, when Ernest Holmes writes wonderful things about you, he's not saying what's right as opposed to what's wrong. He's talking about what is. I'm talking about what is. You can consider it right and the opposite wrong, but the reality is that's just the truth. We ripened our minds, so to speak, to a greater vision of what is possible. We discovered that the science of mind was wonderful, and we discovered it when we did because we were ready to make greater demands on the principle that we found within us. And so, let's end this year by giving ourselves a real awareness of how important it is to give ourselves credit for that awareness, to give ourselves credit for developing a consciousness which is ready to explore greater truths, discovering what we're capable of accomplishing. If we weren't ready to do all this, we wouldn't be here this morning. And I saw a few new people here this morning, and I am always thrilled to know, whether they know it or not, that they're here by right of their own consciousness. Someone may have invited them, but they said yes. They may have been walking down the street and saw the sign, but they said, I shall go, I shall walk in. We're ready to continue exploring the spiritual realm, my friends. We're ready to be in right perspective to everything and everyone. We're ready to discover truths about ourselves that are so wonderful that never again will we feel like there's something missing, that we're not good enough, that there's something wrong with us, because we've discovered that the highest God and the innermost God is one and the same God, the same entity, the same thing. Well, we can't feel lonely, can't feel wanting or wrong or separate from what's important if we truly accept God at the center of our own being. God at the center of our own being. But you may say, I don't remember deciding to consciously take this spiritual path that you're talking about. Some people say that the reason we don't remember it is because it all started when we were too young to know, when we were baptized, or when we were confirmed. I don't remember when I was baptized. Some of us were never baptized. Does that mean the spiritual path didn't start then? Well, I've concluded that I will never know when I started to take the spiritual path. Well, I don't think we ever do know when that path started for us. But we started walking the spiritual path because we sensed that it was there. But you know what? I can't come to conclude that every path is a spiritual path. Everyone. All roads lead to Rome. All ways of living lead to God, whether we know it or not. And though we may not be aware of it, we've been walking this path through every single phase of our lives. No matter what we've been doing, what we've been thinking, what we've been creating. A path that we've been walking with many other people, but interestingly enough, we've been walking it alone. Alone. Together. No one can expand your consciousness, you see, but you. No one can do your thinking for you. And no one's credit can mean as much as the credit that you give yourself. Credit for what? Let's talk about it. Giving credit to the self is much like forgiveness. When Jesus answered the question, how many times should we forgive? He said, 70 times 70. 70 times 7 is what he actually said. What he meant was that forgiveness should be a way of life. And so should giving ourselves credit. Where once we were for the most part unaware of our spiritual environment, that environment in which we live, we are now not only becoming aware of that environment, we're taking responsible for what we're learning in it. What we're learning is that we're cause. We're not effect. And we've got to learn to act like we're cause. And the world of effect, the world of experience, that's effect. The world we see around us. But we're cause to that world. Your world is whatever your mind thinks it is. Nothing more, nothing less for you. For others, it may mean something totally different. So we take what we sometimes think of small steps on this path and sometimes quantum leaps. But in reality, there are no small steps and there are no quantum leaps. We have just moved forward in sync with our spiritual evolution. You've been moving forward on this path in link with your own spiritual evolution every day of your life. May not be aware of it, but that's what's going on. And we should give ourselves credit for it. Credit for consciously doing it or unconsciously doing it. Whether you've discovered the science of mind last week or 50 years ago, doesn't make any difference. Give yourself credit for tending to your own personal spiritual evolution. Give yourself credit for deciding to learn how to love yourself, how to think for yourself, how to trust in that something inside of you that says, I'm okay just the way I am. Say that with me. I'm okay just. Now say it like Edward Brown wants you to say it. I'm okay just the way I am. Now that's the ticket. That's the way to proceed. It's not that we don't have things about ourselves that we want to change here and there, but the essential self, where the innermost God and the highest God is one, there's nothing to change there. There's only something to have the guts to be. And it does take guts. It does take courage to make that stand in your own mind, because there will be people around you who want you unwittingly to fall to the level of giving more importance to the effect than they do to cause. But don't you do it. Cause is the only thing that's important. Effect will take care of itself. But you have to be there to tend to the causes in your life. Well, that means we need to find that something in us which is okay, forgive ourselves when we need to, and maybe along the way take a few chances when we feel right about it. That's what believing that the inner is equal to the outer presence of God. But stop withholding credit because you think you haven't raised your consciousness nearly enough to even acknowledge, let alone praise, your spiritual evolution. Spiritual evolution is what it's all about. Self-recognition at all levels and in all ways is the key to your self-growth, and it always has been. We don't approach that consciously, but we should. Because once you give real importance to having what's going on in your mind be something better, bigger, healthier, you change everything. Why? Because self-recognition is an affirmative act upon the self. An affirmative act upon the self. Remember, when we recognize the real self, we're acknowledging God. And when we acknowledge God, we're accepting the power to create. The magnificence of this power, universally and individually, and relating it to it exactly that way. God is bigger than I am, yet that which I am. Someone once said a discovery is not an accident meeting a prepared mind. A discovery is an accident waiting to meet a prepared mind. It's no accident that you have signed align yourself with a teaching that promotes the whole idea of you being a part of something bigger than yourself, and yet you being that something. You are ready to take responsibility for creating the kind of future that you really want. And if you think of it as an accident that you're here this morning, that's all right. Just realize that you prepared yourself for this accident. You know, why does this have to be true? Because whether we know it or not, we spend our lifetimes preparing for an experience, preparing for something. We use our minds to prepare for either giving or withholding from ourselves. But nobody deliberately sets out to withhold from themselves. But you know what? The sum total of our thinking does exactly that. You put all our thoughts together, we're withholding from ourselves, or we're giving to ourselves. This morning, celebrate with me the need to go beyond all the wonderful demonstrations we've made in 2009, our whole lives really, and all the wonderful demonstrations we intend to make, and simply give ourselves credit for participating in the great game of life. Has every step of life been easy? Maybe yes, maybe no. Have there been times when we lost faith in life and maybe even ourselves, maybe even God? Depends on the individual, doesn't it? When we look over the past year, have there been times when we were disappointed that there some demonstration that we did not make, maybe yes and maybe no. But one thing is for sure, to the best of our ability and in our own way, each and every one of us has consistently wanted something better. But you may say, wanting isn't enough. A better experience of life has to be pursued, and I agree. But I don't want you to overlook the fact that want and need play an important role in the larger picture. It's because the world needed a cure for polio. And the fact that Dr. Jonas Salk wanted to see an end of polio that he found a cure. Can we be so broad in our understanding of life as metaphysicians, that we can give ourselves credit for even wanting things to be better? I think we must. I think we must. Of course we can. Of course we can realize that wanting something to happen is only the beginning, however, because there has to be a beginning. And sometimes the want of something to be better is the beginning of paying our dues. Go beyond want and need, however, to using the life principle to develop the mental equivalent of things getting better. People who complain about things as they are, at some level, contribute to how things are by supporting the issue. Yes, it's the opposite of the broomstick, but it's still part of the same broomstick. Well, people who recognize that things are what they are, but they go beyond them, those people explore life's truths, discover what we're capable of accomplishing. And you know what these people do? They change the world. Be a person who decides to change the world simply by the way your perspective on the world. The person who understands this science gives themselves credit for everything. And don't blush, everything. What they've accomplished, yes. What they intend to accomplish, yes. Their hopes and dreams, yes. Even wanting a better life, yes. For every time you praise yourself for something, every time, not thinking of yourself as better than anyone else, you move yourself forward. But what if I didn't deserve it? What if I don't deserve it, you may say? First of all, who told you you don't deserve it? Who told you that? You know, in the Garden of Eden, God asked Adam when he said, well, nobody came for us because we were naked, or some such foolishness. Something happened because we were naked. And God said, who told you you were naked? Who cast this negative light on you not having any clothes on? Well, you know, he said, the devil. And God dispersed that idea immediately. I wish the rest of the story had turned out quite as lovely as that part right there. But I'm not in charge of rewriting the Bible either. Well, what if you don't deserve it, or you don't feel like you deserve it? You got to start telling yourself that you deserve more than you will ever have time to experience. Dr. Holmes wrote, everything our thought rests upon is either retarded or quickened by the power of that thought. When we constructively praise and creatively bless, life abounds with love, peace, and joy. Well, it's true about life because it's true about the self. Our estimate of ourselves either retards or accelerates, is accelerated by our thought. So support your own spiritual growth and do it consciously. Be there for yourself. Give yourself encouragement, even when you think you don't need it. Give it to yourself. When you need understanding and support, be there with both of them. When you need to have tender, loving care, in the long run, you're the one whose attention will mean the most. Sure, it's nice to have someone next to you, rooting you on. But if you don't root you on, ultimately, their rooting you on will mean much less. Yes. The highest God and the innermost God is one and the same God. And ain't it great? Thank you.
For more spiritual content like this, visit scienceofmindarchives.com.